Open your Bibles to the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 9. We'll begin reading with verse 24. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, beginning at verse 24. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, beginning at verse 24, and reading the remainder of the chapter. Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receives the prize? So run that ye may obtain. And every man that strives for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. I therefore so run, not as uncertainly, so fight I, not as one that beateth the air. But I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should become a castaway. I think these statements that I've just read this evening will mean a little more to us because of two reasons. First of all, there is at this time a real interest in running. And also, next year, 1984, we're going to have the Olympics in Los Angeles. So we're going to be exposed to exactly the same type situation that Paul spoke of here. He uses two things, running, the athletic events of the Olympics and the Isthmian Games, which were conducted very close to the city of Corinth, as illustrations of the Christian and how he should strive and keep himself continually trained to do God's will and to do it as effectively as he possibly can. Now you'll notice that Paul mentions that all are runners in this race. Notice in verse 24. Know ye not that they which run in a race run all? Now his observation is this, that every one who enters a race to run is supposed to run. If you get confused and you get the people who are involved in weightlifting mixed in with those who are the runners, then you're going to have some very serious problems. Paul's observation is that all of the runners are supposed to run. It's not a matter of individual choice as we look at it from the perspective of the Christian life. Now, I don't like to talk about the Christian race. That is, the idea that we're saved because we can outrun the devil. I don't think that's a proper way of looking at these verses of Scripture. When we think about running, we're not talking about a plan of salvation where God saves a sinner and puts him on the road to heaven and then sets the devil right behind him, and if the person who's been born again can outrun the devil, then he'll finally get to heaven. Now that's negative. That's has no application here or anywhere else. In the first place, salvation is not a race. And the second place, the devil could outrun any of us. That's not the way it is at all. He's talking about when you look at a race, an athletic event, you see the winner striving. And he is saying that we ought to strive, that we really ought to try to live the Christian life. The idea that living a Christian life after we're saved being optional, that's an absurdity. All of the people who are God's people, every member of this church, you are entered in the race whether you've chosen to enter it or not. You've been placed on the track whether you decided you would run or not. You are in the race. Now, the idea that Paul presents here is this. You can either stand around on the track or you can run. You can either decide that you're going to strive for the mastery and you're going to win a crown, or you just stand around on the track and see the other people pass you by. Now, you'll notice that he stated, "Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receives the prize? So run that ye may obtain." And that word simply means to win. The prize to the winner is what we should seek. Now, the idea that we're all in a race and very few people are going to win the prize is not really what Paul is saying. But he is saying that we ought to learn a lesson from the winner of the race. That is his training and his striving and the excellence that he promotes within himself and the single-mindedness of his attempt. This is what Paul's talking about. If we would enter into our Christian profession with this attitude, then we would strive or try or make a deliberate attempt to be excellent in the service of God. If you don't enter a race, you won't run it. You won't win it. I think this is what Paul's first observation is. You know, I can't really complain that I didn't win the Boston Marathon. I can't say that I've really been depressed because I just didn't win that race or the Pepsi 10K or whatever it is. I never have entered one, so I can't really complain much that I never won anything. And another thing, you know, I could lie up there in bed and say, boy, if I did enter, I could win. You know, If I ever put my mind to it, I could do it. Sort of reminds you of some people who said, boy, if I ever became a Christian, I'd be like Paul the Apostle. I'd be the greatest Christian there ever was. Well, if wishes were horses, then beggars would ride. Is that correct? If intentions were activities, our church would just be loaded with people successfully serving God. But intentions are not worth much. They might be worth a little, but I've never known them to accomplish much. And when we just look at the race and say, well, I'm here, but, you know, I don't really care for it much, we can't say what we do if we don't do, and we can't complain if we don't win. There are a lot of people that are content to let the other people run the race. But Paul said, so run, and all of you who are in the race, run, so that ye may obtain. Those people who are in the race and those who win the race are tough. Notice in verse 25, and every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. The word strive here means to be a competitor in a contest and therefore to try and to train. Those who seek to win make an effort. And the Bible says he is temperate in all things, and this simply means that his habits are designed so as to make him a better contestant. Every man that strives for the mastery is temperate in all things. You know, sometimes you can maybe teach something by an absurdity. It'd be difficult for us to believe a person who sat down with a quart of ice cream and a chocolate cake and a couple dozen glazed donuts, maybe two hamburgers and one 16-inch pizza just for dessert. And you can just see them just, you know, how... He said, what are you doing? I'm training for a race. Fix and run, you know. You're what? Well, I'm getting ready to run. You don't expect someone who's just sitting and gorging themselves, you don't normally assume that person is in training. Because a person who's serious about running is temperate in all things. He has learned, or she has learned, to abstain from certain foods and activities, and they have an intention, they have a seriousness, and they have habits that will let everyone know that they are serious about winning the race. And there are a lot of Christians who talk about living for the Lord and doing God's will, but they're gorging themselves on chocolate cake and pizzas and all the other things, and their testimony is not very believable. They're just not doing the things you'd expect people to do in order to win the race. People who are constantly missing church, people who are constantly involved in immorality, people who are constantly using the money they make on themselves and themselves alone, people who are never making any effort to do what God teaches us to do in His Word. It's difficult to believe these people when they say, "I'm in training to run and to win." Paul said the people who run are temperate. They train. In the book of Hebrews, chapter 12 and verse 1, Paul writes again and uses another illustration from the Olympics, and he says, let us lay aside the sin and the weight, or the weight of sin that does so easily beset us, and run with patience the race that is set before us. And the word that's translated weight here means ankle weights that runners trained with when they were training to run in the Olympics. And on the day they were to run, they would take these training weights that they had placed around their ankles, and then they would run. And Paul says that life has many weights for the Christian, and that sin is a weight to the Christian. And as we are preparing to run and to run and win, then we ought to make sure that in our training we lay aside the hampering and hindering weights that will become attached to us as we live and as we work for our Lord. There's something rather strange also about Paul's statement here, and that is the prize. He mentions in verse 25, the latter part, "Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown." You would think that people who spend years in training, that people who deny themselves and who are continually thinking about the race, fixing their eyes on the finish line that they can see in their mind, and bringing themselves day by day, month by month, and even sometimes year by year to that one time when they run in this great race, you would think that people who are running in a race such as that would be running for hundreds of dollars or thousands of dollars or gold coins or something of that nature. But the people who ran in the Olympics, the original Olympics that started almost 800 years before Christ and continued until the present day, literally, these people didn't get gold medals and silver medals and bronze medals. They got a wreath, just a laurel wreath, a corruptible crown, something that in just a few hours would wilt and fade, lose its color, lose its usefulness in the sense of being able to keep it. It just wilted and dried and withered away. But there was a meaning. There was something emblematic that even the emperors involved themselves in the games, because the winner was a man who was heralded throughout the kingdom as being almost superhuman. He was very important. So that corruptible crown that the winner of the race received had great meaning. I see what people win in races here, T-shirt. A guy gets up at early in the morning, and he trains late in the evening, trains weekends, and he trains for weeks and days, and then gets a T-shirt. I can buy them cheaper than that. I'd have them printed myself because I'm particularly lazy early in the morning. But I admire people who run. I admire people who care for things, and I admire people who are willing to be temperate so that they can compete. And it's not that they're competing for thousands of dollars or anything of that nature. It's the competition. It's the fact that I was there that makes a difference. But the winners, Paul said, they get something that's corruptible, but we an incorruptible. Now, that doesn't stand or is not a type of eternal life. He's not saying that we run so that we can be saved, but he is saying that whatever reward God has for us will not fade away. Whatever reward God has for us for doing what he has taught and called us to do is something that will not wilt, it will not fade, it will not dry up, it will not rot. It is incorruptible in its nature and therefore is of infinite value. Paul had a program. In verse 26, he states, "I therefore so run." Now, how did Paul describe himself as running? Well, he said, "I do not run uncertainly." And he implies, of course, that he runs certainly, and this means with resolution. Paul had a purpose. Paul had an aim. He said, "I am not running uncertainly." He knew where the finish line was, and he knew what to do. First of all, I'd feel silly, probably in a pair of running shorts. I don't normally show my legs. Any of you ever see the advertisement? It appeared years ago on the backs of comic books and men and hunting magazines, where this little skinny guy was at the beach and this big guy was kicking sand in his face. Well, I was the kicky, okay? I was very skinny, and I could have almost worn a sock for a bathing suit with two holes cutting the end of it, So I've never wanted to demonstrate my athletic body, especially since I stayed skinny in the legs and got pear-shaped in other places. Just not something I like to advertise. Then again, I don't know enough about it to be sure that I would know exactly what to do. What I'm trying to tell you is this: if I entered in a race, I'd enter uncertainly, embarrassed, not knowing exactly what all I should do. Should I run fast to get ahead or sort of hold back? I wouldn't know. I'm not trained. Now, Paul said, "I'm not that kind of person when it comes to serving Jesus Christ, because I know who I am, I know where I'm going, I know what I need to do, I know what God wants me to do, and I am here with a purpose in my mind, a purpose in my heart. I know the rules of the game, and I'm in it to obtain a prize." He used that illustration. I'm not here wondering what to do and which direction to run. I intend to win. I intend to have the very best that God has to offer me, given to me at the end of life. I think that forever sets aside the silly theology of just a cabin in the corner of glory land. First place, there aren't any cabins in the corner of glory land, so you can't have one. I don't know what all there is there. You know, people say, well, just so I get to heaven. And you know, there'll be these people have these big gold-covered mansions and all this sort of stuff, you know. But me, I just take over to the back 40 sort of pond over there, and I'll take my little cabin corner of glory land. Let all you people strive and try and work and sacrifice, and let you earn your mansion, but a little cabin over there will be just fine with me. Well, you don't have that. You're not going to get that. If you do get one, the Lord will set it on fire. It's wood, hay, and stubble. You say, what's that cabin in the corner of glory land made out of? Wood, hay, and stubble. So when you get there, God's going to burn you out. Okay? Go for the gold. Go for the silver. Go for the precious stones that Paul mentioned in these other verses that we studied earlier. Paul said, I enter the race. Now he changes his illustration and he speaks of a boxer or a fighter. Notice, so fight I. Now notice he states, first of all, so run I. That is, I run not as an uncertain person, not knowing what to do or where to go or how to do it. And he said, so fight I. That is, now he's using the illustration of a boxer. Not as one that beateth the air. And some people have translated this shadow boxing. And the word beateth, so I fight I, not as one that beateth the air, means to flail or skin alive in its literal meaning. So it has in it the idea of someone who is vigorously attacking the air. That's rather, I think, humorous illustration that Paul is using. Can you imagine a fella who's involved in a great struggle with air? You know, he just locked in a death grip with air. And naturally, air is somewhat difficult to choke to death, so you're going to be involved in a lot of flailing around, literally like a person just flailing or thrashing around, grabbing, but he doesn't grab anything. He makes all these moves, but he doesn't get anywhere. Paul said, I don't do that. I don't beat up on air. And that's really what he's saying. I'm not boxing or flailing air. He said, I know what I'm doing. I know what I'm striving to do. And he said, I keep my body, or under my body. What he's talking about here is his physical body, his carnal nature, his tendency to sin, that which would become his greatest hindrance. Isn't it strange that the greatest hindrance to winning in the Christian race or in our service to the Lord, our greatest hindrance is our own personal self? Sometimes runners will claim that they were bumped, they were pushed, or they had all sorts of problems and interference from other people. But Paul said, I know that my greatest hindrance is my body. That is my fleshly nature, my carnal man. And he said, I bring it into subjection. And this word means to lead about as a slave or to enslave, to make a slave. Paul said, my biggest hindrance to doing what God wants me to do is my flesh, my carnal nature. So in order to control it, I enslaved it. I put a chain on it. I've literally leashed my flesh. I control my flesh. It does not control me. Now, I think where some people make a tragic mistake is that they think that this action, of subjecting or enslaving the flesh to the spirit is a once and for all accomplishment. You know, they look upon their relationship to God something as Jacob wrestling with the angel, and so they enter into this great struggle with the flesh, and for hours or days, like Jacob struggled with the angel, they wrestled with the flesh and they wrestled with the devil until finally the daylight breaks and the devil gives up and the flesh is now subjected and enslaved, and you'll never have any more problems with it as long as you live, because you have freed yourself from sin. That's not true. Just think of yourself handcuffed to a person or a body that's sometimes bigger than you are and sometimes smaller than you are. I mean, you're twin, and you just live with that as long as you live, because that's what the flesh is. It's never conquered permanently. And this, no more than it's a living thing, it's a constant thing, and you may turn down temptation tonight, but you'll be tempted in the morning. And you may turn down temptation tomorrow, but you'll be tempted again the next day. And you simply have to remind yourself, I'm still in training, I'm still running the race, so I cannot cut my appetite loose now if I'm going to win. And I think everyone who's a runner will tell you, or anyone who trains athletically will tell you, that they can never yield to that desire. Well, let's don't lift weights right now. Let's don't run tonight. I'm awfully tired. I'll run tomorrow. People who win races, who win boxing matches, who win athletic events, don't yield to the flesh. They keep pressing the iron. They keep running. They keep training day after day after day after day, because the very first time they yield, start gorging themselves, or start just simply lying in bed, then they lose a great deal of ground. And this is what Paul is saying. I keep my body. I bring my body as a slave. I make my flesh subject to me and to my spiritual nature. And here's his greatest fear: lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. This word preached means to preach the gospel, or it might mean a herald at the games, at the Olympic Games. So a herald at the Olympic Games was a person who called the contestants to the line. He heralded the beginning of the event, called them to the line, and enunciated the rules, told them again how they were to run, and then got the people started on the race. And the word castaway is a word that has in it the idea of something that will not stand the test. It was used to describe metal vases or metal pots that had been cast, literally cast, as we would pour a casting a vase or a metal pot. And if the sand or casting material had gotten out of shape, there would be a flaw in that metal casting, and it would have all of the configuration that the artificer expected of it, but it would have a flaw and perhaps wouldn't hold water as a pitcher or as a vase, and therefore it was imperfect and could not be used. I believe, as Brother Goodwin explained, Dr. Guthrie was a great language scholar said it was some type of vase that had a crack in it, and it was too good to throw away, and I mean, it was too good to throw away and not bad enough, you know, it just is in between. Not bad enough to throw away, and yet it wasn't good enough to serve. So he just sort of set it on the shelf and couldn't really get any useful service out of it. Whatever Paul meant, he certainly meant to say this. If after instructing other people, I myself fall prey to all of the invitations of the flesh, then I can become useless in God's service. And Paul said, I fear that. I don't want to become just a vessel sitting somewhere and not used by my Lord. And he said, out of this fear, I make and bring my body into enslavement to my spiritual nature. And I run. I don't fight the air as one who is flailing and thrashing. He said, I have purpose in what I'm doing. I don't run uncertainly. First this direction, that direction. I'm not confused. I know which way I'm running. And he said, I'm running for something incorruptible, as Peter said, that fadeth not away. And it's not a matter of whether you decide, well, I believe I'll run in this race and get in it. If you're saved, you're on the track right now. You're on the track right now. So run that you may obtain.